Does His grace amaze you? What the wonderful grace that we have through Him. You know, having issues in your life, maybe your marriage, maybe your family relationship somewhere, maybe with a neighbor, a coworker, a school friend. Error on the side of grace, always. Error on the side of grace. Well, we are talking about relationships today, and the sermon is you know, we are on a year of discipleship. We call it the discipleship path. It's the journey to discipleship. Last week we looked at the Word of God and the importance of us to be immersed in God's Word. And today we're looking at prayer. And prayer is not something that we initiate. Well, I guess we could argue that you do. But it is our response to God's constant invitation to interact with us. God loves us, and it's because of that grace that does amaze us, that He wants a relationship with us. And so today we we'll see that prayer is the result of relationship, and we find one of the prayers that we hold on to the most and we are very familiar with, the Lord's Prayer. We find it in Matthew 6, and we're going to look at that, but we tend to isolate it. We tend to isolate the Lord's Prayer, and we look at that, and that's not a bad thing to do it, but it's in the middle of a bigger context of what's going on. It's Jesus. He's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and it begins back in Matthew 5, goes through Matthew 7, and in Matthew 6 we see this prayer. But in the midst of it, I want to go even further back, and we're not going to read all this. I do encourage you to read it, but in Matthew 5, in the Sermon of the Mount, Jesus is talking about relationships. And I think when we look at the Lord's Prayer in the context of what's going on around it, we'll see a little bit more about the relationship that is there and the relationship that we can have with God through it. And but let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look at your word, Lord, as we unfold it in context, as we read it from Matthew 6, Lord, as we contemplate it, and as it takes part and takes hold in our lives, and as we go and live and obey it, may you be worshipped. May you be glorified. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our mind to what you have for everyone here, every individual. And Lord, also for us corporately, as your local body here in this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Sermon on the Mount, and then back in Matthew 5, it's all about personal relationships. And he's talking about brothers, and we're not going to read it all. We don't have time to break it all down today. But I'll tell you, and you'll go home and you read that. But he's talking about relationships with brothers, with friends, with marriage, with others, with evil people, with those who persecute us, with our neighbors, with enemies even. And in this relationship, there is one response to all of them, and that is love. And we see here that love is strength. Love is found in restraint. Love is doing the right thing. Love is even self-denial. And we see that love, when we exercise it in our personal relationships, it is worship to God. In the last verse of chapter 5, and you realize when Jesus was doing the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew recorded that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there weren't numbers and chapters. So it's not like Matthew ended this chapter in a wrong place. It's just how man has organized it after that. But in verse 48, in the last part of that chapter, Jesus says that you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow, That is hard to do. But and so he's talking about relationships, and then as we get into Matthew 6, there become what a teacher would call non-examples, or things that say, hey, you're called to be perfect, but beware of these things. And so there's a long list of them as we come closer to the prayer. The Lord's Prayer, it comes in the middle of non-examples, in the middle of beware of this. When you live out your righteousness, don't do it like this, but this is how you ought to pray. And then and so he gives us these warnings in Matthew 5. He gives us warnings about practicing our righteousness in front of people. We should live righteously, but it should not be that we live one way behind closed doors, and then when we get around other people, then we start living in different ways. Oh, we're going to practice our righteousness. Hey, look at me and how righteous I am. And he even gives examples of those who would go and sound the trumpet, standing in the streets, awaiting honor for themselves as they gave to the poor and as they helped others. And then he gives a warning of that we should not be a people who are praying to get attention. And he even gives examples of saying meaningless prayers, of just repetition, of just over and over again, of, hey, I'm worshiping, and look at what I am doing. Look at how I am giving. Look at how I am living. Look at how I am praying. It's in these personal relationships, it's not about us. It's not about us is what it's saying in the midst of this. And it even gives us, when you're fasting, don't do it with gloomy faces. Oh, look what I'm doing for the Lord. Bless the Lord. And you know, he's saying, no, it's not about that. And then he turns it I'm putting all this in a nutshell for the context. You're going to read it. But he says, it's not to glorify you. Worshiping God is not to glorify you. It's not so others will take notice, not to take notice of your righteousness, not to take notice of your giving, not to take notice of your prayers, not to take notice of your fasting. It is not about you. He says, don't do it to be noticed by men. Don't do it to be honored by men. Don't do it to be seen by men. Don't do it to even be heard by men. He said, if you do those things, you will receive a reward that, yeah, they'll think you're great here on the earth, but where it matters in heaven, there will be no reward waiting for you there, because it's about God. He says, the Father will reward us when we give in secret, when we pray in secret, when we fast in secret, so that you will not be noticed by men. What is he talking about? The focus is supposed to be on the Lord. The focus is supposed to be on God. And even in 6:8, we're about to pick up in 6:9, but it says, Jesus says, the Father already knows what you need before you ask him. The Father knows all things. And so do we pray publicly? Yes, we do. But it is to glorify God. Do we give? And nobody's saying, hey, did you give your envelope? Did you, you know, that's not going on. But it is an act of worship between you and the Lord. Father, I give. Lord, Father, I'm praying about these things. Father, I come to glorify you. It is a thing of the heart is what it's saying here. And again, the Father sees all things, and he will reward you. It's not about you. It's about in the intimacy of the relationship when we seek the Lord. As an example, 1 Kings 19, we're not going to turn there. You write that down, though. Where is Elijah and God? Remember, the Lord was passing by. And it says, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And it says, but the Lord was, and then after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, quake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. Our worship is for God's glory. When we read the word, when we pray, when we sing, it is for God's glory and our worship with God. It is like being in that gentle blowing. It is a time of intimacy. And I tell you, the ultimate intimacy that a human can experience, I believe we find one of those in prayer. Last week we talked about the Word of God, but when we're seeking the Lord intentionally and in a way that is worshipful to Him and not about us, then we experience an intimacy with God in a way that is amazing, that we just sang, and a way that does carry eternal rewards, even daily rewards. In Philippians 4:7, it shares about the peace of God. The peace of God that comes through prayer, through this intimate prayer, it guards our hearts and minds. So just, again, this is in the middle of all of this. Let's read now in Matthew 6:9-13. So in the middle of this, it's not about you. Do it in secret. Pray then in this way, Jesus says. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he gives us this prayer. He says, pray in this way. He never says, hey, memorize this, which memorizing it is not a bad thing. It is not supposed to be a duty to say those specific words. It is not just merely a rote prayer that's supposed to be said in the athletes out on the mound after victory or failure or however you want to call it. It is a model. It is a pattern. He says, pray in this way. Pray with these elements. Almost these are the ingredients of an intimate prayer and an intimate time with your Lord. It's one that says, it's not about me, God. It's about you. It's about you. And so if you're following along and you're listening outline today, we see that we're going to look at the intimacy in our relationship, our personal relationship with the mighty, graceful, merciful, loving God, that where we find true, ultimate intimacy through our prayer. First, we see that our prayer is about intimate worship. Intimate worship. It's about worshiping. It says, our Father who is in heaven. That prayer, remember, this all came in the context of things not to do. The Lord's Prayer is found in the context of how not to worship. And so we come in, oh, Father, it's about you. It addresses our position as God as our Father and we as God's child. Oh, we sang just a moment ago, we bow before you. And one of the things I struggle when we sing those songs is, you know, that we don't actually bow. But I hope in your heart that there is a bowing. There is a recognizing God for who He is. And there's a submission in our heart, a worshipful thing in our heart that says, Lord, you are God. So that worship, we recognize God for who He is. And it says, hallowed be your name. Oh, His name. We've studied His name. We know about His name. God's name reveals His character. Everything we can know about God is in the names of God that we find throughout Scripture. And remembering God's name is one of the most worshipful things that we can do. Some of the names that we see here, that we see even in this passage, if we were to break it down, we see Him as Father. That's Pater. Then the Elohim is our creator. He's our El Shaddai, the Almighty God. We see Him as our provider. That would be Jehovah Jireh or Yahweh Yireh, however you hold on that. Then we see Him as the Lord, our righteousness, Yahweh Tzidkenu. We see Him even as Yeshua, as our salvation. And if I may read Isaiah 12:2, you write this down. It says, behold, this is another prayer. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Yeshua. He has become my salvation. And we see Christ even fulfills that. It is worshipful just in those first two first two statements, and we can go on. We can pray about Him as our Creator, as our Almighty God, as our Provider, as our righteousness, because we know that nothing good in us exists except that that has come through the blood of Jesus Christ. So just in those first two statements, Father, and holy is Your name. Holy is Your name. It's worshipful. We see it's an intimate love. So we have prayers about intimate worship. It's about intimate love. God says in Psalm 91, I encourage you to read that whole thing, but we're just going to look at 14 through 60. We might just look through just 14. But listen to this. From Psalm 91, it says, because He has loved me. This is God speaking. Because He has loved me, because You have loved Him, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him securely on high. Why? Because He has known My name. He has known My character. He has known My word. He has sought Me in My word. He has sought Me through prayer. There is an intimacy that comes with praying and seeking God. It's an intimate love when we know His names, when we know His character, when we seek Him intimately, prayerfully, and privately. Remember, what we do here corporately can only be as strong as how we live privately. How we live privately. Then prayer leads next. We have it's about intimate worship, it's about intimate love, and it leads to intimate submission. To submission. I mean, we've said so far, You are God, You are our Father, You are the Creator of all things, Your name is holy, and that just, oh man, that can expound for all eternity just in His name. But Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Oh, hear this, to speak of a kingdom, it recognizes a king. To recognize a king, and through faith, it confesses our relationship as citizens of heaven. And man, what a citizens of heaven! Imagine that already, and to come into this kingdom, and through faith to recognize our God as our King, it is to recognize Him as the way, as the truth, as the life. It says, "You are my authority. You are my Creator. I am Your creation, Lord. Your will be done in my life." It is, and what we find here, the idea behind this passage is the simple foundation of all covenant that we've mentioned so many times that we see in the Old Testament and that we see Jesus preaching about in Mark 12:29, starts out the great commandment, is the Lord our God is one Lord, and we shall love Him with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. It begins recognizing the King and His kingdom, and the fact that His kingdom, His will be done. It begins. That's the foundation of the covenant that we have with Him. We see intimate worship, intimate love. It requires intimate submission, and then it leads to intimate trust. Where He says, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread, it recognizes God as Jehovah Jireh, as God as our provider. And reality is, Lord, if we have anything, it is because of You. He has created all things, and He has made all things good, and He has made these things in this world for us. Sin has tainted that, but He is our provider. And again, think about it, physically, spiritually, through His word, through the life, through salvation, through what He has given us mentally, emotionally, all of our life benefits from what He has provided. And through that, we should trust. Why? Because it is God who provides. It is God who calls us to salvation. It is God that gives us understanding to His word. It is by His grace, and it is through His love that we're even can know how to even mention grace and mercy. Thank the Lord for what He has done. Ultimate intimacy found in prayer says, Lord, I trust You with my life. I trust You with my life. And I'm not talking about just the day of your salvation. I'm talking about the struggle that you just went through, the struggle you're going through, the struggle you're about to go through. Whatever you're going through is like, Lord, I trust You with my life. I trust You with my needs. Lord, I trust you with my soul. Lord, I trust you with my confessions. Oh, there is true worship, there's true intimacy when we can trust the Lord to where we can pray without ceasing and we can pray about all things. This is the model prayer. This is the ingredients, the elements that Jesus is talking about here. Not a mere rote prayer, but but we trust him. We trust him. And then we say, Lord, forgive me for my debts as also I forgive my debtors. We continue to say, Lord, I trust you in this battle. You realize if you're a follower of Christ, life sometimes is a battlefield. There's an enemy that does come against us. And Lord, we can, and sometimes that enemy is ourself, in our own mind, our own temptation. And we say, Lord, I trust you in this battle called life. I trust you with my temptation. I trust you in this battle with evil. I trust you, Lord, with this battle even within my own self. I trust you. When's the last time you've gotten before the Lord and said, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I confess these sins, things that you wouldn't trust me with, things that you wouldn't trust your closest friend with, some things that you wouldn't even trust your spouse with. You can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you with this. We see in 1 John 1 that it is worship when we can bring that confession before him. Lord, I trust you to deliver me. And then we see that prayer is about and leads to also to intimate obedience. Intimate obedience. And it says, it ends with, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It says, this is an obedience because of the intimacy. Lord, because of you, Lord, I will obey you. Lord, because of you and because of your love and because of what you have done, Lord, I will seek you. I will seek you in your word. I will seek you, Lord, through these in my prayers. I will seek you, Lord, in your church. I will seek you in your mission. I will seek you, Lord, even in my waiting. Oh, it's hard to wait. I will seek you in the stillness. I will seek you in the quiet. I will seek you in the pain. I will seek you even in the joy. Lord, I will remember your name. I will love you with all of my heart. I will love my neighbor. I will forgive others. I will flee temptation. I will resist the devil. I will confess my sins to you and to those of whom I've harmed. Lord, I will abide with you because I know from apart from me, I can do nothing. It's an intimacy that begins with the knowledge of God through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, through our obedience and seeking the kingdom of God through his word and through intimate prayer. That says, Lord, it's not about me. Lord, it's all because of you. Prayer. Prayer isn't a duty that we just have to do to check off the list of being a good Christian. Prayer is a result of relationship with a loving, merciful, graceful, amazing God. It's an intimacy. And it's not just a mere prayer, a model prayer that we rotely communicate back to him. It is a model, it's a pattern that leads us to so much more, so much deeper into the relationship. So our big idea today is genuine prayer develops from an intimate relationship with God. Intimate prayer, it develops from an intimate relationship with God. I fully believe that we cannot fulfill the things that God has for us if we are not individually faithful in seeking the kingdom of God through his word. And I believe that we cannot experience the intimacy that God has for us and the fullness of all that God has for us if we are not seeking him genuinely. That's authentic. That is in a real, passionate, heartfelt way each and every moment, not each and every day. Maybe you have a devotion time. I have a devotion time where I focus on prayer in the morning, but You can pray all day long. I pray all kinds of things. Y'all were singing, I was praying different things. In the middle of it, you can pray all things. Oh, there is no closer friend that you have than in God the Father through Jesus Christ. Again, genuine prayer develops from an intimate relationship. So where are you today as Rhonda is coming? What about you? Where is your relationship with God? Have you come to a place where you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've been, you know, maybe you've said the Lord's Prayer. Maybe around the mound in the middle of the football field. Maybe around the dinner table. Maybe at the church and you've just said it and there's been absolutely no intimacy. There's no relationships. It's in the midst of relationship. And where is your relationship with God? Where are you today in your relationship with God? Have you come to a place where you have a relationship with God? And then the next I have, where are you in your commitment to that relationship? Have you talked to God lately in an intimate way, in the way that is patterned in Matthew 6? Where are you in your commitment today? Where are you in your commitment? Maybe you've come to faith in Christ today, but at some point in your life. But I ask, where are you intimately in your relationship with God today? I would encourage you that today, if the Lord is calling you to come forward and say, Lord, here I am. And if this is the day that you need to recommit your life to God, I encourage you to do the same. And I encourage us all. God has already done the work, and He just asked us. Again, what we do is not because, hey, we want to be good Baptist or good Christians or good whatever. All that we do is a response for what God has already done for us. You, go be found faithful.